Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime and whatever other random stuff happens to pop into our heads. Just a quick reminder, this is an E for Explicit podcast, so listener discretion is always advised. I'm your host, Alex, and I'm here with my co-host, Austin. I say, nay, indeed. Austin's turned into a horse.
Damn right I'm a horse.
Austin hates horses. You're scared of them.
Well, we just spent 3 hours on horses.
Not on horses, actually.
Horse no, not
adjacent,
quite.
In which I mean we just got back from our Pokemon Go excursion because today was Ponyta Day. But yeah, we had 3 hours of Pogo fun.
Catching Ponytas.
It was a cold and rainy day, so we had to figure out a place to go to loiter around for 3 hours. So that was an experience. We went to the mall. There was a lot of people at the mall.
Oh, it was so nostalgic. We went into the Hot Topic, and I was so excited.
The mall we went to was way more happening than the mall we went to the other week. We went to a dead mall.
Yes, we did.
A few weeks ago, and that was quite an experience.
I love dead malls. It's like a liminal space.
It is a liminal space. I like them, like, aesthetically and, like, just the feeling of just being able to walk around unimpeded.
But we were impeded.
We were impeded, actually, because we were minding our own business. We were also playing Pokemon Go. And we were walking around the mall just playing Pokemon Go, minding our own business. And we were accosted by a mall cop who had nothing better to do. And he accused us of taking pictures and videos. And we were like, no, we're not, sir. Get bent.
How dare we take pictures and videos at the mall?
Apparently, you're not allowed to film at the mall. I don't know. I didn't see any signage saying do not film. But I'm like, so what? What if we were? Like, what if we were, though? What would you do?
What do you have to hide?
I mean, literally, we were just, like, standing by a directory billboard. Like, there was nothing interesting to even, like, film. And our cameras were down, you know, because we're just standing there looking and playing Pokemon Go. Like, they weren't even pointed up to where you could potentially accuse us of filming someone. But then at the same time, I feel like if you're out in public, isn't there, like, an expectation of... There's no reasonable expectation of privacy, right? I don't know. I think that guy just was a busybody.
He works at a dead mall. He's got to justify his job. Meanwhile, at the more active mall we went to today, I could have used some mall security. We nearly got clipped a couple times.
They have these things now, which these were not things when we were younger, but they have mall rides where you can like ride these little tricycle things around, but they're like animals. They're like big stuffed animals covering up a trike, and you can like ride them around the mall in the general populace. There isn't like a separate area where you go to ride these. You just ride them up and down the walkways, bumping into people and stuff. We almost got ran over by 3 teenage girls who were having the time of their lives, apparently.
Do you hear that?
It's probably my washing machine.
No, it sounds like there's like an airplane or something, like, right above me. It's like a low, grumbling noise.
It's probably my washing machine.
No, it's, like, outside the window.
Maybe it's a washing machine.
It's one of those traveling packs of washing machines that come to inflict pain on others.
Are you sure it's not me? My washing machine is going.
I'm positive it's not you.
Do you hear it if you take out your headphones?
Yes.
Well, I wish you the best of luck editing my audio this week because my washing machine is going.
I've given up on editing your audio. I just leave in the buzzing noises from your laptop in the audio track. I don't even care anymore. Oh, speaking of laptops.
Oh, God.
Do you remember when I sat on my laptop?
Did you break it?
I broke it. The screen is all cracked.
Oh, Austin, you did not.
Yes, I did.
I didn't want to say anything in that moment because I was like...
Did you hear a crack?
No, but I thought I thought to myself, it was on a couch. The couch absorbed the cushiony, you know, it cushioned the blow of it. Like, there's no way.
It still got cracked in, like, several spaces, though.
Isn't that your brand new laptop?
It's not brand new, but it's new.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
What was really annoying is it's a touchscreen, so it was, like, doing things on its own accord.
Oh, no.
So I had to turn off the touchscreen feature, which was harder than you might think to do.
That sucks. I
Is Josh good at building computer type stuff?
He might be able to help you. I can tell
him. Okay, I might have to enlist him.
I'll see what he has to say. I know he's replaced phone screens before, so maybe it's just like a big...
I mean, I've done that.
A big phone
screen. Surely it can't be any different, right?
I would hope not. I mean, how much is a screen for a laptop, I would hope, is not like...
I don't know. I'm going to do my research. We'll figure it out.
Okay. Yeah, normally, I do apologize. I normally would not have anything on as far as like the fan or the air conditioner or the washing machine, but I have to do laundry because I'm going to be going for a work event and I need to have my work clothes. So there's nothing I can do.
How dare you have the washing machine on?
We're kind of recording at a different time. We're doing an evening recording, so...
I gotta look out the window. I gotta figure out what this is. Hold on.
Oh, my washing machine is singing. It's singing. Austin's investigating. If he gets beamed up by a UFO, I'll let you guys know. I hear a laugh, so I wonder what it turned out to be. Oh, boy.
So I figured out what it was.
You have, like, a shit-eating grin on your face. What could it possibly
be? It was me.
It was you?
I left the AC on, which I normally turn off before recording.
So it sounded like a horrible buzzing noise above your head?
Yes, because I don't usually sit in this place when I have the air conditioning on. So it really threw me for a loop. I'm like, what is that horrible buzzing noise?
At least it wasn't like...
It was the AC.
Like a wasp or something.
Ugh, it was awful.
I'm glad we solved that mystery.
Yes, we did. Okay, anyway.
Anyway, I think the washing machine stopped, so that's a good thing. Well, now that that's out of the way, let's talk about what we've been up to. Anything interesting, Austin?
Nope.
Aside from our mall adventure?
Not really, no.
Nothing interesting at all?
I will say we got a message from Tristan.
Oh, what does Tristan have to share with us this week?
Oh, he says, Alex's reaction was awesome. Kelsey's too. I could hear her laughing in the background.
So wait, what was the reaction in response to?
Oh, the Waffle House.
Oh, yes, because objectively everybody knows that I'm right and the Waffle House is the best. Exactly.
Yes. But then Tristan's been giving me idea for fan fictions.
Oh, gosh.
I think he might be like rewatching season one or something. I'm not sure.
Can we just like pretend that a fan fiction episodes don't exist?
Well, here's the thing.
Oh, here's the thing.
To that, I have to say, Tristan, you can write your own fan fiction because Alex and I discussed the possibility of having listener submitted fan fictions.
I like that idea.
I think we should do it.
I'm gonna encourage that. So our original, was that the Imposter Oak prompt?
Yes. I could be wrong, but I think we are gonna be recording an episode where Alex and I write our Imposter Professor Oak fan fictions on October 6th.
Oh my god, that's coming up so quick.
That is coming up soon. But since we're down on Jacob for now, and that's gonna leave a lot of space. The idea is, listeners, if you would like to write an Imposter Professor Oak fan fiction and send it to us by October 5th, and it's, you know, not horribly offensive in some way, we'll read it aloud on the podcast.
Please, please, please. I highly encourage any of our listeners to stretch their creative muscle and submit to us. The prompt is just Imposter Professor Oak. So,
yes, any, that's all it is. That's the prompt.
Any setting, any genre, whatever you want to do, of course, please keep it appropriate in the sense of...
It can be X-rated.
It can be X-rated, but, you know, in the sense of, like, non-offensive.
I would encourage X-rated.
X-rated, but non-offensive.
Nothing... Let's not get canceled.
Right. But yeah, please, please, please write in. We will read your submissions to us as part of that if we receive any entries by the 5th, like Austin said.
And if we don't, no big deal.
Yeah.
But it'd be funny if we did.
I would love to see if anybody out there has a great idea, because I know that I don't have any ideas right now. So I wonder if ChatGPT knows anything about Professor Oak.
Maybe.
Hmm.
All right, get it to outofthedryingpan@gmail.com by October 5th, and we might read it.
Oh, that sounds so exciting. I can't believe, oh my god, that's hold on, I'm going to look. 1, 2, 3. Oh my God, that's only 3 weeks. Oh, okay.
By the time this is coming out, it'll be 2 weeks.
3 weeks for us as of right now. 2 weeks for you guys, listeners. Good idea. I really like that.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
And if we get zero submissions, that's fine. It's
yeah, but you know, in regardless of that, like, just if we don't get any and it's just you and me, Austin, I'm still interested to see how that goes, because both fan fictions that we've written, or that I've written rather, have both been like romance stories.
That's my challenge for you. No romance whatsoever.
I know. How am I going to do that? I feel like I'm.
What's your challenge for me?
No horror.
Oh, damn it! My whole idea was horror.
Too bad.
No. I have to come up with a new idea. Oh, no.
Okay, it's only fair. If you impose a restriction on me, I get to impose a restriction on you.
Maybe I should write a romance and you should write a horror.
Oh, shit. Is it too? Okay, am I being cruel? I just feel like it's only fair.
It's fair. I've done too much horror
stuff. No horror stuff. You had The Mask of the Red Death. And what was the other one?
Oh, that one that no one liked with Molly's mom.
Who didn't like it? I thought it was good.
I didn't like it.
Oh, God. You is different than everybody.
Okay.
All right. So that's exciting. Look forward to that, listeners. Anything else going on, Austin, that you want to talk about? Or
Nah.
Okay.
How about you?
What has been going on this week? Just a lot of work. Fun.
All right, I'm chomping at the bit to discuss these really exciting Johto episodes.
All right. Well, because I can't think of anything specific, I'm just going to say nothing of note, but come back to me in a week because I'll have done a little bit of a traveling thing and may have a story or two, so.
Okay.
Okay. All right, so this week we are discussing the two episodes, Whichever Way the Wind Blows and Some Like It Hot.
Which I considered watching the movie Some Like It Hot, but I simply did not have the time to do it.
Simply did not have the time.
It was like 2 hours long. I was like, I don't have the time.
Oh, speaking of movies, okay, I will say real quick, I did watch two movies, one oldie and a goodie, and one new to me that I had never watched.
Was the oldie Some Like It Hot?
No, but it was The Birdcage.
Oh, that's an oldie.
It is an oldie, and it was great.
Well, not that old, but...
It's 1996? Mid-90s? And then I watched The Lighthouse.
Oh, how is that?
It's a weird one.
Can you believe I've not seen The Lighthouse?
I'm kind of surprised, because I thought for sure you would have seen it by now.
It's just impossible to keep track of things sometimes. There's too much out there.
There is too much out there. I've pretty much gotten kicked off of all of my streaming services, because my family... They were all my family accounts, and I have... since I'm not in the same household technically anymore, all the streaming services have gotten wise to me and have kicked me off. So I refuse to pay for my own.
Yeah, which service is The Lighthouse on?
It's on HBO.
Okay, great. I have that. To be more clear, I don't pay for a single streaming service, but I do have access to HBO.
I do have access to HBO through my boyfriend. So that is the one exception. But it was good. I would say it was weird. It was a weird one. A lot of interpretive, left up to the viewer, like how you want to like interpret it. But it was good.
I'll watch it.
I was proud of me.
You know, next month is horror movie month, so.
I know. I was trying to prime myself because I was proud of me because I usually just default to watching movies I've seen before. But I was like, no, I'm going to actually sit down and watch a movie that I have not seen before.
Ugh, I hate watching movies I've seen before. If I haven't seen a movie in like 20 years, I'll watch it. But I can't just watch the same shit over and over again. Unless it's Pokemon the series. That I can do.
To be fair, we haven't watched these episodes in many years. And also, to the same point, I haven't watched The Birdcage in many years.
Yeah, I probably haven't seen it in 10 years either.
I made an exception for that one because I'm like, it's been long enough to where I think I can watch it again.
10 years is a solid gap of time.
What about like 5 years?
That's too soon for me. Unless it's something I'm like actively engaged with. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen Madam Web twice in the last 365 days.
That's two times too many. There was a period of time there where I was absolutely fucking obsessed with Pride and Prejudice with Keira Knightley and Matthew McFadden. And I watched it like every day for like a week. There are certain movies I make exceptions for.
For some reason, okay, sorry, this is a total tangent and we can move on. Do you remember Becoming Jane?
Is that with Anne Hathaway?
Yes.
I think I've seen it because I was into period romances like big a few years ago.
And the love interest is James McAvoy.
Oh, yes, yes.
And I think he has like a split second nude scene.
He has a split second nude scene?
I think so. For some reason, I think of that now every time I see trailers for that movie Speak No Evil. Have you seen that advertised?
No.
It's a horror movie, and he's like a psycho killer kind of guy.
Oh, yes. I know what you're talking about.
Their advertising campaign consists almost entirely of James McAvoy muscled to the gods, like shirtless. Every time I see an ad for it, it's that scene. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, y'all. Horny baiting with James McAvoy.
Don't you want some horny with your serial killers?
I guess.
Okay, I will say James McAvoy is a great actor. I like him a lot. Atonement made me cry.
Do you like his massive heaving man pecs? Because...
Can I just see what you're talking about? Does he have massive...
Google Speak No Evil.
Okay. Oh my god, he does have massive heaving man pecs.
Every time I get online, I see an advertisement for that, and it's that part.
Oh, wait, there's a scene where he's, like, coming through the door.
That's very The Shining.
Very Shining. All right, enough of that.
Okay, anyway, Pokemon.
Pokemon is not a period romance, sadly, but we're still going to talk about it.
Nor a horny horror movie.
Well, no, I'm just kidding.
It depends on the episode.
Horny horror movie. We just had a horny horror movie episode, actually, with the Ninetales.
That was very horny.
It was horny. So, yeah, depend on the episode. So we're going to do whichever way the wind blows. We're going to talk about that. And I also fell down on the job. I don't have the randomizer because Austin, he completely abandoned that duty to me. So
you mean forgetting the randomizer is a really easy thing to do?
God damn it, Jacob. This is Jacob's job.
We're going to see Jacob in person in a little while.
And we're going to punch him in the face.
I'm going to give him so much shit.
We are going to give him shit. But not really because we're too nice in real life. We like to talk a big game, but... it's hard to randomize when there's just two because it's 50-50.
Flip a coin.
All right, I'm doing the 30 seconds for this and you're doing the full summary.
Joy. I'm glad because I have more to say about this episode than the stupid McCargo episode. Oh, sorry, spoilers for my opinion.
Okay, just a full disclaimer, you guys. These episodes were not the strongest.
These are the worst episodes of the season so far.
When Austin kept saying, like, we're in peak Johto and stuff, it doesn't apply to these two episodes.
No, it does not.
We're hot off the heels of the Icy Price arc, and that was too much excitement, so the writers had to, like, take a break.
Cool down.
They had to cool down and catch their breath.
Cool down from Icy Price with a volcano.
With a hot, hot episode.
All right, you're ready to...
Time myself. No, I'm not timing myself. You're timing me. What am I doing?
I'm timing you.
I forgot who was doing what just there.
We're so discombobulated doing this at a late evening.
Yeah, we're all. This is not our typical recording time, but because I'm unavailable on our typical recording time, scheduling. Not that it matters to anybody listening, because this comes out for you guys.
Get ready. 3, 2, 1, go.
Oh my god. Okay. Ash is still basking in the glow of his 7th gym badge. And he doesn't see the grisly scene of carnage in front of him. Some dead Oddish. Just kidding. They're just sickly. Ash goes to help them, and some guy named Steven runs up, and he explains that a gang of Vileplume and a gang of Blossom have been fighting over a tree. And it turns out there's, like, shards of leaf stones and sunstones on the wind, and so depending on the wind blows, they evolve in a different way, and they fight, and then they realize that they wanted to be the opposite, and they love each other.
Time.
Oh my god, there was so much.
All right. No.
No? Yes.
Okay, ooh, my external disk drive is acting up. That's not good.
Can you imagine that I have a whole page of notes on this episode?
Yeah, I also have a page.
Wow.
We had a lot to say.
For a really boring episode.
I'm still going to go pretty fast, though.
All right.
As you said, we are in a big grassy plain, and Pikachu finds three desecrated corpses of Oddishes on the side of the road. Thankfully, as we know, Pikachu has the ability to revive dead Pokemon. So the three Oddish are up and at him before you know it. Brock waters them and gives them some food. And Oddish lead us to a big old tree that Brock decides is 150 years old.
How would he know that?
Because Brock just knows everything.
He's a treeologist now?
He's Brock the First, and he was there when it was planted. We get there, and we see a gang of Vileplume and a gang of Blossom. And they get into a physical, like, brawl. Like, they're, like... The Outsiders or something.
Can I just say that these are the least intimidating Pokemon of all time? Well, actually, maybe not so much Vileplume, but, like, a gang of Blossom is just, like, absurd.
See, I feel like a gang of Blossom is always going to lose to a gang of Vileplume. Vileplume's, like,
ten times
the size of a Blossom. You could step on a Blossom.
Is Blossom just pure grass?
Yeah.
And Vileplume is...
Grass poison.
Do they have an advantage?
Yeah, they do. Poison over grass.
So...
But they're not fight. They're not using battle moves. They're, like, physically assaulting each other.
They use Stun Spore.
Oh, aside from Stun Spore. Which, doesn't that not even work on grass types?
Not in the later gens.
Oh, okay.
As of this point, I don't know. And, you know, anime logic is different than...
It's whatever. I'm surprised these Vileplume could not run these Blossom out of town. No. Apparently, it's an evenly matched fight.
Sure.
Because Blossoms are scrappers, and they will fuck your shit up, even if you tower over them.
They'll dance you to death.
Don't fuck with dancers. They're strong.
They are. Maybe they're like, really super muscly under their... Maybe it's like a Diglett situation.
Maybe it's like James McAvoy.
with their giant heaving pecs underneath their skirts. Yeah. Okay.
So a man in some very unflattering glasses runs up. His name is Steven. He's the steel type trainer who's a champion of the Johto region.
He wishes.
Ah, just kidding. He's actually the child of Rose Quartz and is a half-human, half-gym who lives in Beach City. Just kidding. What are some other Stevens I can think of? Stephen King. He writes a bunch of horror books.
He was hopped up on... I could imagine that he was hopped up on cocaine because Stephen was pretty excitable.
Oh, who? Mr. King? Yes, he was.
Well, also this Stephen in...
This Stephen's hopped up on that Stun Spore.
He snorts lines of Stun Spore. Why? Okay, just to real talk, though, he did have that very specific anti-paralysis Salveo weed medication that we'll come to see. So maybe he does.
See, was that? Okay, I had a question about that. We're going to get back to that.
All right, all
right. Okay, so Steven's here. He's like the local grass researcher man.
He's the local weirdo.
That all fields have. Okay, he takes them back to his home, and he has like a wind vane on top of his little research facility. And it shows that when the wind blows from one way, some of the local glooms evolve into Vileplumes. And when it evolves from a different direction, they evolve into Blossom. And the twerps are like, that's so weird. Steven's theory, which is clearly true, is that they build up trace amounts of stone over time. And from one direction, the wind is blowing stone, a bunch of leaf stones, like microscopic elements. And from the other direction, it's blowing sunstone, microscopic dust. Yes?
I have a question about this, because I was hoping that they would potentially explore this. If you travel in the northeasterly direction, or the northwesterly direction...
You would find a
mound of sunstone. Yeah, like, where is this coming from? Like, if it's being carried on the wind... Then there has to be some kind of quarry or something of each of these. Like,
you thought the episode was going to be we were going to travel out and find the leaf stone area?
I thought we would see where the leaf stones and the sun stones would come from and they would like get rid of it, or not get rid of them, but like at least collect them up or bury them deeper to where like they weren't continuing to like blow around.
Or harvest them for profit.
But no. Which
raises the question of how do these stones form in the first place to trigger evolution?
Magic.
How does one create a leaf stone? Just like millions of years of leaf erosion creates a leaf stone?
I mean, a leaf stone is basically like a fossilized leaf.
Right.
A sunstone is whatever it is.
Rock in the shape of a sun.
Yeah. Let's not question evolutionary stones.
The evolution stones don't have any like lore behind them. They just exist.
They're just stones with properties, I guess.
Anyway, these magical stones that exist in a space we've never seen are being carried on the wind and causing gloom evolutions. Which I kind of assume the reasoning for this episode is actually... We've seen on occasion a Pokemon that should evolve with an evolution stone spontaneously evolve without an evolution stone.
Mm.
So maybe this is kind of addressing that. And they're like, it's just trace amounts built up over time.
So they have, like, stone poisoning.
Right. I'm thinking specifically of all of Melvin's executors.
Oh.
His execute evolved without a leaf stone, if I'm not mistaken.
Melvin is... He was, like, injecting them with something, I'm sure. We knew... Didn't we, like, talk about that? And we thought he was, like, injecting them with, like, execute steroids and stuff? Because they were entirely too crazy.
I think Melvin and Steven are injecting each other with God knows what.
You know what? I was really hoping that they would have drawn the gloom and with like all these like crusty deposits like weighing them down of like all the stone that was like...
Well, I think it's like the microplastics in our body.
Oh my God. that's a terrible implication.
Well,
I mean, everybody has microplastics in them.
Anyway, every time the gloom evolved one way or the other, it means one population of the Vileplume or the Blossom is now larger than the other, and so they get into a brawl.
They dominate the other half, and then...
It's like sharks and jets up in here.
Sharks, 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 okay.
Jets, jets. They always get into a dust cloud of conflict, and they shoot stun spores all over the place. So Steven hands out some masks to everyone, and he would have been very useful during the COVID pandemic. I could have used him then.
Yeah, he had a bunch of just surgical masks just waiting.
He was the one hoarding them that wouldn't let others help. He also had like a giant mound of toilet paper.
He does have a giant, he has like mounds and mounds of stuff in his little like lab house. He does have weird stuff in there.
This just happens like again and again and again, by the way, like all throughout the episode. So I'm not even going to get into the details of that.
It's a lot of same-ishness.
Just assume the same thing happens over and over again.
Sure.
Meanwhile, Team Rocket's here and they're having a lovely picnic, which is ruined by all these feuding flowers.
They were just trying to enjoy their Windows XP background scenery.
They were. I mean, it was a pretty field.
Yeah, sure.
Jesse and James get stun spored, but Meowth somehow avoids it. So Meowth goes to what he calls a convenience store to get Salveo weed extract, in a shocking amount of continuity to the Orange Islands episode where Polygbag was a weed dealer.
Yeah, that's right.
Because Salveo weed only exists in the anime.
Well, Salveo weed grows only in lakes, as we remember from that episode. But these were like tablets. So I guess they were
this was like
put into a pill.
Processed Salveo weed. Did you think this was Steven's little lab area? Or did you think it was a different building?
I thought it was Steven's house because, well, maybe they didn't really specify that now that I'm thinking about it.
See, I was like, is this Steven's house or is this a different building? But I didn't care enough to, like, rewind to find out.
I'm just going to assume it's his little spot.
I mean, it would make sense for him to have Salveo weed, or whatever you would call it. Salveo weed pills, tablets.
I mean, if he's working with grass-type Pokemon, I guess.
Regardless, Team Rocket's back on their feet, and Meowth has a boss fantasy.
Is this the first one?
No, it is not. We've seen them before.
Oh, because I wrote in all caps, the boss fantasies begin.
I swear to God, we've seen boss fantasies before.
Are you sure? When was the last time we saw one then?
Okay, we're going to go to Bulbapedia. Here we go.
Is there a fucking list?
Yes, there is.
Oh my God, there's a list. Y'all, you have no idea.
We've seen boss fantasies before, but I think this might be the first time Meowth. It's like the first time the format gets codified where he's like, because I'm Meowth and friends, I'm going to give them a big reward.
I cannot believe. Actually, I can believe. There's a whole article on Bulbapedia. It says boss fantasy. The boss fantasy, or Niarth delusion, is a segment in the Pokemon anime in which Meowth thinks of practical uses Giovanni can make of the Pokemon being focused on in the current episode.
Yeah, he had them for Kecleon and Corsola.
Okay, I guess if you really want to go back to the beginning, it was in Bye Bye Butterfree when Meowth fantasizes about sitting on Giovanni's lap.
That doesn't fucking count. Forget that.
Okay, so what else? There's the
Kecleon and Corsola.
So we don't count like him sitting on his lap.
I don't consider like the one image of him sitting on his lap to be anything. But like the whole scenario of Giovanni wakes up in the morning and he sees the Pokemon Jesse and James and Meowth have captured for him. And then he's like, I'm going to give them a big reward. That's a boss fantasy.
Okay. So really, the Kecleon with the jewelry, the stolen jewelry, and then Corsola. Oh my God, Corsola. Disgusting.
These obviously are going to get more involved as we go on. Oh boy. And a lot more naked.
Oh boy, are they. I'm so excited.
But not yet.
Just give it some time.
For now, it's just a simple Giovanni fantasy. He wakes up, he sees all his Blossom consorts doing him a dance.
Blossoming.
And all the Vileplume and Gloom and Oddish make a beautiful garden for him.
Sure.
So Team Rocket are going to catch all the Blossom in a Blossom bot. No, they're not. They're going to catch all the Vileplume in a Vileplume bot. No, they're not. Jesse just wants to catch fucking something. So they're going to do that. They show up later in the episode with a big old bag. And they're just going to catch everything in the bag because they spent all their money on anti-stun spore protection equipment. This does not go very well for them. Jesse and James get stun spored again, leaving Meowth free to interact with the twerps. Misty points out this entire time there's been a group of 3 Blossom and 3 Vileplume that have been sitting on the sidelines because they're pacifist and they don't want to see all this battling and warring going on every day.
I don't know if we mentioned this, and I don't know necessarily that it deserves a whole lot of, like, time spent on it, but the whole reason, if this wasn't clear, why the Blossom and the Vileplume are, like, having this issue with each other is because, if you remember back to the singular tree in this entire meadow.
Oh, right.
The sun, they both want to get sunlight. So, obviously, as the day goes by, the sun moves across the sky and it casts shade in a different direction. And when the Shade is in the Blossom territory, they move over to the Vileplume, and the Vileplume beat them up, and then vice versa and all this stuff. But I was just thinking, I made a point here to ask, why don't they just move in front of the tree? If the sun is moving across the sky, it's casting a shadow in one direction. Like, why wouldn't they just move in the front of the tree?
Listen, Vileplume and Blossom are violent creatures whose ways we are not meant to understand. They are beyond our capability.
Clearly.
I mean, you would think that they would all just, like, live in one big group.
This field is, like, endless, but I guess you're right. Maybe my tiny human mind can't comprehend.
Flowers have thorns, and they will cut you.
Actually, that's funny you say that, because just this very morning, there's a rose bush that is outside of my apartment here, like, at the end of the walkway. And I was just walking along, minding my own business, going to my car, and I stepped on something, and it wouldn't come off of my shoe. So I looked down, it was a thorny branch. Those thorny branches will get you.
But you know what won't get you?
What?
The pacifist Vileplume and pacifist Blossom.
Oh yeah, they're lovers, not fighters.
Well, are they? Because Misty points them out, and it's like, you should all follow their example and not be fighting all the time. At which point Meowth walks up and is like, sorry to tell you, Red. I know you hate that, Alex. That's why I said it. They are not actually pacifist. They're offended because the Blossom wanted to evolve into Vileplume and vice versa. So now they're just in a state of perpetual sorrow because they are now freaks who hate their outward bodies. Which, like, same. I understand that notion.
This was, like, the worst thing. Like, of all the directions that this episode could have taken, I wasn't expecting this. But, like, I sincerely empathized with the Blossom and Vileplume who were, like, so sad, because I was like, could you imagine going your whole life wanting to be this one way and having zero control, and, like, just because a particle of sunstone hit you in the forehead, like, that is what determines that you have to be a fucking Blossom for the rest of your life. Like, I don't know. I do feel bad for them.
I wouldn't want to be any of these Pokemon. I would want to be anything else.
If I had to pick, I'd pick Vileplume.
I think I'd be Vileplume too.
Vileplume's better.
Just as long as I'm not a Gloom, I'll be happy.
Yeah, like, finally they get to evolve beyond Gloom, and they have to be a Blossom for the rest of their lives. Like, oh my god.
So, all these Pokemon have body dysmorphia. No. And Misty, forever genius Misty, is like, that's okay, you were meant to be this way. And I'm like, Misty, that's not a very good message.
I know that, like, you're completely undermining their feelings by just telling them, like, this was their destiny. I don't know what it is between, like, this episode and the other one. Like, Misty is, like, a life coach all of a sudden. Like, she just has the explanation for everything, as we'll see in the next one as well, but I'm not sure I appreciated this.
It's not like these things can have, like, gender-affirming surgery or something. They're just fucked.
You can't go back. Like, once you're evolved, you can't go back. What did she say? What was her message? She said, like, oh, I didn't write it down. But basically, like, you were meant to be this. It's your destiny.
That means a whole lot of nothing.
That's, yeah.
So these Pokemon are doomed forever to suffer, despite Misty's words of wisdom. Suddenly, Jesse and James are back up on their feet. They attack with Victory Bell and Arbok or something. But all of the plants, plus Bayleaf, who's been out and about this entire time because she emphasizes with grass types, I guess, blast off Team Rocket. And they all do a ritualistic dance in the fields where they split up into three circles and try to summon, like, Flower Satan to burn the infidels, I guess. I don't know. But that seems to solve all conflict, impossibly. We say goodbye as we walk into the sunset. Brock says, we'll see you again someday.
No, they won't.
They will not.
I'm okay
with that. And the episode is over.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. It was like today when we were in the mall and we went into the rug store and the guy was like, oh, are you local? We have another location. And I was like, yeah, we'll be back. We'll be back. Thanks so much. We'll be back. And then I was a complete lie.
We will not be back.
We will not be back to the rug store. It's one of those things you say when you try to save face, you know, just like a pleasantry. Oh, we'll see you again. Okay, goodbye. And then you turn to your friend and you're like, we're never fucking coming back here.
Brock draws a circle on the map where this field is and is like, do not enter.
Oh, wow. What an episode.
What an episode. When is Johto over? Okay.
You would know better than I would.
I do actually know.
How many episodes? It's not for a while.
20-some episodes.
Okay. All right. MVP, LVP, and quote time, Austin.
Great.
All right. Let me go back to the randomizer. I do it again. All right. You're first, followed by me.
Randomizer. My MVP.
Why did you just say the word? LVP. Why did you say the word randomize?
I'm so tired. Randomizer.
What?
Okay, I'm going to give a shared MVP and LVP.
Wow, that's a rare one.
Team Rocket, Jesse James, and Meowth are assaulted on all sides by Vileplume and Blossom.
Horrifying.
Wobbuffet jumps out, and he jumps out, and he's outside of the dust cloud of doom.
Mm-hmm.
And then a singular Blossom jumps out of the dust cloud, grabs Wobbuffet, and pulls him into the dust cloud.
Wow.
Did you miss this?
No, I guess I do remember what you're talking about, but I guess I missed that very particular instance.
It was a split-second gag where Blossom drags... This is why I think they're fucking evil. That thing was drawing Boba Fett into the chaos. So that Blossom gets an LVP because it's trying to murder Boba Fett, mm-hmm. but an MVP because it caught me off guard and I laughed at it.
Very good.
My quote? Okay, this is a stupid one. Steven at one point says... There's a big storm heading right for us. And Ash says, how big a storm? Do you not think that was funny like I did? Okay, whatever. Moving on. Next quote. Okay, that landed like a lead balloon. Great. My quote is actually going to be...
Oh, come on. If you thought it was funny, no.
It didn't mask your high standards.
I mean,
Meowth saying a convenience store. How convenient.
Okay, that was better, I will say.
Okay, thank you.
Storms do have categories, so I'm not entirely like...
Okay, but Ash doesn't have meteorological knowledge to be asking how big is the big storm.
He should. We just came from the Zatu cult people. He should be an expert weatherman by now.
No, that's Jesse.
God damn.
Okay, you go. You impress me with your amazing quotes.
I will.
Randomizer.
Randomizer. I invoke the... Oh, I did not invoke the dryer chime, but I do invoke the quote. God, we are so tired. We spent entirely too long.
Oh my God, we are so tired.
Ponytaws. Okay, my fucking quote is, I have two. I'm going to say two of them. The one where Jesse is unveiling her not popular Pokemon magazine mecha, rather their ingenious bag, and she says Jesse. Oh my God, I'm so tired. I'm so sorry.
I think we need some Salveo weed extract.
We do need fucking something. I need coffee is what I need, but I don't have any milk. Fuck. Okay, regardless. Actually, it's a multi-flexible digital analog recovery device. Ash says, what? Misty says, that looks like a bag. And my other quote is...
Well, your quote sucks and you should feel bad about yourself.
I do feel bad about myself.
Good.
Meowth said, here's my other one. Meowth says, thanks to the wind, they all evolved in the opposite direction of when they wanted. Now they can't bring themselves to fight against the Pokemon they wanted to become. They're just having an identity crisis. And Steven says, I didn't realize you Pokemon actually had an opinion about the which way you'd like to evolve. And Brock says, I didn't realize Meowth knew what an identity crisis was.
That was a genuinely good quote.
That was better. See, I saved it at the end.
Okay, great.
Oh my God, my MVP is going to be... I don't even know. My MVP is going to be...
Do you like how we always have the same, like, lilt to that? My MVP is going to be...
Well, we've only done this for, what, 140-something odd episodes, so...
What's funny is guest hosts do the same damn thing, too.
That well...
Everyone we've had as a guest host is the exact same rhythm for that.
That's the proof we need that we're living in a simulation, because we all go through the same animation. Okay, anyway... I think
we all do the same, like, delaying tactic.
It is a delaying tactic, which...
I've been delaying for you for quite some time for this.
I don't need you to delay anymore because I picked one. I'm going to say Meowth.
Okay, great.
Meowth for the boss fantasies, which I consider this to be like the start because I don't count the Kecleon and Corsola because I just made that choice for myself right now. So
okay, great.
Meowth for that. And my LVP is going to be Steven for not seeming to realize that Pokemon have thoughts and feelings. Because they obviously do.
I thought you were going to say Steven for not being Steven Stone.
And also for not being Steven Stone. How dare he use the name Steven? What are you doing?
I am such a mess today.
Randomizer.
Have you been watching me? I tried to turn on the lamp and it caused a disaster.
God, it's like an earthquake over there.
I have a very, like... sensitive setup at the moment.
You're on the bed. I like how for so long we were talking about you kept giving me shit about not having a desk, And then I finally get a desk, and I haven't actually sat at my desk for months when we've been recording this. Meanwhile, you've also migrated back to your bed and not your desk.
I'll figure out something next time we record. How about that?
We're a disaster. If you're still listening, thank you so much.
This is the amount of effort and, like, dignity that these two Johto episodes deserve. This is the amount of respect due to these two episodes.
Oh, my God. Okay, thankfully it's over now, so we can move on to the next.
No, it's not. We got another one.
Wait, we do? Oh, I meant this.
Some like it hot.
This episode is over now.
Okay.
But we do have one more, and that's called, like you said, Some Like It Hot, and we're going to talk about it right now. So you're going to do the 30 seconds, and I'm going to get the thingy timer up in 3, 2, 1, go.
The twerps walk into an active volcano range and find a bunch of giant flaming lava snails, including one that's particularly giant and blocking the way. And some ugly boy named, like, Egan tries to catch it, but he gets too distracted yelling at Misty for no reason, and she yells at him, and it goes on forever, and eventually he finally catches the giant Megcargo and then falls into a volcano pit and dies, because I fucking hate him. This episode sucks.
Time. And I made sure to stop it this time so it doesn't continue to lap for a week.
Okay, great. Good luck with this one, Alex. Good luck.
Guys, I'll just be real with you. Like, usually I try to be the one that's like, oh my God, no, I can find some redeeming quality of this episode. But this episode is just as trash and ass as that boy's hair, because it does look like an ass.
It's horrendous. And not even like in a like charming way. He's just like he got shit out by his mother into a toilet.
Like, who is... And... Oh my God, please cut that out. Who is this boy, and why is he just wandering an active volcano zone? Okay, you know what? Okay, stop. We'll just take it from the top, okay? We'll do it live. So we're in the volcanic hot spring infested region that's between Mahogany Town and Blackthorn, if you remember
right.
That. Just kidding, because in the game, it's fucking Route 44, which is just like a bunch of water, and then it turns into the ice path, and then like it's Blackthorn. So what the fuck is going on? I have no idea. I do empathize with Misty because she's like, oh my God, it's so hot and I'm dying. I'm being boiled alive. And I'm like, girl, I hear you. I hate the heat as well. And I'm so glad it's almost fall. It's almost officially fall, you guys. I'm so excited. Meanwhile, Team Rocket is barely here. They were contractually obligated to appear for like 2 seconds. They're in a hot spring trying to take a peaceful dip, but they do spot the twerps, and then they actually like discuss amongst themselves if they should even bother interrupting them.
No, you should not.
Well, the universe...
Don't bother.
The universe decides for them that they aren't going to bother because a geyser erupts and sends them flying off. So, goodbye, Team Rocket. Meanwhile, the twerps wander right into a Megcargo hole and stumble into a giant sleeping one. There's a bunch around, but this one is, like Austin said, particularly big. It has a gash on its side. Do all Megcargos have gashes? On the side.
No, I think this one had a special gash.
Okay.
They do have that little hole that the flame comes out of.
That's what I was thinking of, but this one has a unique identifier other than being large, I guess. Mm. Does Megcargo also have like only one set of like disgusting jowl things on its mouth, or?
No, it has two.
Because I think this one had three.
Oh, it had three?
I'm pretty sure. Or no, oh, I guess there are kind of three of them. Never mind. I'm trying to make up things.
Like a regular Megcargo? Okay, I'm looking at Megcargo now.
There's kind of three of them.
I see one. Oh, you mean like the three on each side?
Yeah.
Okay, I misunderstood.
Never mind. Sorry. I'm trying to make up things that aren't there to try to make it more interesting, but it's not.
No, it's just a snail.
It is just a snail.
Admittedly, a snail made of lava would be interesting in like reality.
Sure.
You don't think it would?
Oh, absolutely would.
But not in this world.
You know, I really... Megcargo and Slugma are not ones that I ever really used, like, ever. So I was trying to really, like, find that one charming bit to be, like, inspiring enough to be like, oh, I would like to use a Megcargo in my game, but, yeah.
Did it piss you off that Slugma has never appeared and we get an entire group of Megcargo?
And not one single Slugma?
Yeah.
Wait, Slugma has never appeared in the anime?
Not up to this point.
Whoa. I am surprised then that they didn't have some Slugma just scattered around in there.
Yeah, you'd think there'd be like a background Slugma.
Maybe this is a place with a bunch of like fire stones all over the place. No, wait, how do they evolve?
They just evolution, oh. I think. Level up.
Escargotois. Obsolete.
What is happening?
I looked up the name of a group of snails, and apparently it's called an escargotois.
Escargotois?
Yeah.
That sounds like a it's dirty
a root, a walk, or an escargotois of snails.
Escargotois? That sounds like such a dirty, sexy word. I love it.
It does?
It's like menage a trois or something.
Ooh, okay, I see where you're Macargo getting at.
Macargo a trois. No, ew, gross. Okay,
I love how snails reproduce.
By budding. No, I'm just kidding. They don't. They just sort of like slime around on each other and it's disgusting.
No, that's not how they reproduce.
How do they? Then enlighten us. Biology corner with Austin.
Okay. This is my understanding of snail sex.
Oh God, here we go.
The snails have these like sex daggers.
Excuse me?
It's like some sort of like bone type thing and they stab each other with their
bone
sex daggers.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Whichever snail gets stabbed by the other one, that one becomes the female in their sexual reproduction. I don't know how that works exactly.
Huh.
But that's the receptive partner, and that's the one that gets impregnated with snail spooge.
Please don't ever say those two words together again.
Okay, with snail cum.
Oh, God.
And that one is the one that lays the snail
Not
eggs,
better.
I guess.
So really, it's just who pokes each other first, and then that's...
Yeah. That's my understanding. Well, it's not even like poke. It's like a stabbing.
So are like prior to the mating ritual, they're just like both?
They're hermaphrodites.
Okay.
I think so.
Well, I will take your word for that. God, where was I? I completely lost my train of thought. Oh, we're in the Macargo hole. Ash and friends find the giant sleeping one. And Ash decides that the best way to get this thing to move is to fucking yell at it. And, of course, it responds like any rudely interrupted creature would if you got rudely awoken. It attacks them.
It sets them on fire.
Misty tries her best to do anything, but, you know, that doesn't always work out so well. Psyduck comes out, makes things worse. Misty ends up losing horribly with Poliwhirl to Macargo. It's pretty pathetic. It was not a good showing. I'm like, girl, what is wrong with you? This annoying little kid who has a haircut that looks like an ass jumps out from like a rock and he's like, hello, I'm Egan, the Prince of Fire. He's like an annoying little brat who was like abandoned in these mountains because his parents couldn't stand him or something. So he has to live amongst the Macargo. They have an instant rivalry, Misty and Egan, because of course one is a fire type trainer and the other one's a water type trainer. But he runs away before they can actually battle. Immediately, they bump into him again.
They gotta fill in those 22 minutes.
I don't really know, why he, like, ran off, because they just find him again, like, almost immediately. And Egan is there taking on Macargo with his Flareon. Egan's a total asshole to his Flareon, and he's like, get up, you have to win, But it's, like, obviously struggling, and it passes out eventually, and Macargo escapes, and of course, like, Misty's like, what the hell is wrong with you, kid? So they invite him back to their little camp, where they have lunch together. They start discussing their respective loves of their chosen types. And Misty starts to explain why she loves water types so much. And this is, again, very introspective of Misty. Like, she was life coach Misty back in the other episode, and now she's, like, life coach Misty in this episode, too. And she kind of gets pretty deep with it. She's like, oh, I love water types because they're changeable and adaptable, just like water. You know, they mold themselves to whatever space they're in, and no matter what challenge they face, they can adapt to it.
I'm not sure if that's necessarily true, but okay. Sure.
It seemed very like, what's your daily horoscope? What's your sign? Oh, you know, this sign is changeable and adaptable and all this. And Egan's like, you're full of shit. Please add something, because I feel like I'm just rambling.
I didn't pay attention to this episode at all, to be honest. But Egan pointedly was, like, being a little brat to her every time. Like, she was being kind of season one Misty in a lot of ways.
Sure.
Of, like, yelling and screaming and insulting him. But then she kind of, like, changed tactics and was kind of a more mature season five Misty, I guess, of her, like, trying to explain her love of water Pokemon, etc. And then he would, like, keep on being a little dick to her.
I mean, he's quite...
Little brat.
He's younger than them.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's much shorter than them.
So that's what it was.
I mean, if you're... Oh God, I hate saying this, but like, if you're going off the assumption that Misty and Ash are 10, this kid was much shorter than Misty and Ash. He had to have been like 7 or 8 or something.
I hated how Misty had to have the emotional labor for this annoying boy.
I mean, he's an annoying little boy.
Yeah, but Misty's an annoying little girl.
That is true.
In the real world, she'd be a little girl. Obviously, in this world, when you're 10, you're an adult, so...
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you... there were some moments where he did clap back to her, and I kind of appreciated it because, like, you shouldn't always take somebody's bullshit at face value, I guess. And that's my quote, so I'm going to save it. It'll make more sense when I read it out later. But, I mean, he is a little butthole, but he's also just the fiery, hot-headed kid, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I hate it. I don't even have, like, the strength to, like,
there's nothing really to say. I mean, he's just...
There's nothing to say! There's nothing to say. No.
So anyway, he's...
He's not even fun.
He's not fun. He's just there. Moments later, they encounter the Makargo again, and Egan manages to engage it in battle once more, overcome it, and capture it. I kind of really didn't pay attention to that battle, to be honest. I did pay attention to the Pokeball mechanics of it all.
Oh, I missed it.
Was it just me, or did it seem like the Pokeball blinking noise? Like, you know, when you throw the Pokeball, it catches it, and it goes do-do-do-do-do. Like, that was weird. It was different.
I did not notice that at all.
Like, usually it doesn't make that kind of noise, so I was like, that's...
Maybe it was just an error.
Different. Yeah.
They chose the wrong sound effect.
Do Pokeballs generally make an audible do-do-do-do, like, when it's, like, rocking? I think it just, like, shakes.
Yeah, you're right. It makes, like, a little...
Yeah, it goes boo wee wee, like when it's shaking, and then at the end when it's caught, it goes boo.
So it was doing the red blinking light, yes, as it was shaking.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. That is a mistake.
It was an error because every single time it went, like, it shook, it was like bing 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 bing, and I was like, what is going on?
Danger, danger, Robinson, danger,
danger. Yeah, this, it was fucked up. It was different. I was like, what is happening here?
It was a bootleg Pokeball because Egan had to,
I mean,
get it from like Timu or something.
He probably had to like make it himself,
forge it from lava.
I still am curious. Well, actually, I'm really not, because I don't really care about this kid. But, like, I do wonder, like, why he's just, like, roaming around in the volcano area with, like, no supervision. But anyway.
Anyway.
Team Rocket is not gone entirely. They swoop back in to swipe the Pokeball. But it's really of no consequence because they basically end up... Misty and Egan team up because, of course, like, they've overcome their differences and work together and all this. And blast them off again. Yeah, they shake hands goodbye and leave Egan to fall to his death into a volcano hole sometime later. And
thank God.
We never see him again. So there you go.
He got one of those post-birth abortions and died in love.
God.
Should I get rid of that?
God damn. You are just full of these zingers today, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. Like, I literally... I know this was probably, like, super boring, but you could only do so much with so much material.
I think it's fair to say this is a low point.
It's not the best.
No.
I guess they were just like, okay, what's on the menu today? Makargo's on the menu.
Escargot.
We gotta do an episode.
Escargotois of Makargo.
That's the most fun thing that came out of this, is that I learned that that's what that's called. I'll forget it the minute we're done doing this, but...
Yeah, I had completely forgotten this episode existed. Like, it was... Gone, baby, gone.
I don't think I've ever actually... If I have, I forgot it, but I don't think I've seen this, so...
You and I would have watched it.
Well, it was of such little consequence.
It may have just been on in the background.
That is true, because we did once upon a time watch all of them, but that was over 10 years ago, Austin. I mean, there's no way I remember this.
But I don't know. I remember the rest of these episodes fairly well.
It was of little consequence.
Clearly. Okay.
Okay.
I have a controversial statement to make.
When has that ever stopped you?
Never.
Hey, we E for explicit tag warning on the beginning, so go ahead.
Feel free to call me out if this might be misogynistic in some way.
I'm not the best person to ask, but sure.
No. You are a girl, so I'm going to put that labor onto you. So good luck.
Okay.
I took this episode as proof positive. It's time for Misty to go. It's time for Misty to leave the show.
In what, like, what prompted that feeling?
Okay. I'm watching this episode. It's a Misty episode. There's nothing to explore her character with. There's no forward movement happening with her character development or her life or her story or her experiences as a Pokemon trainer. It's just they threw a conflict in there of this annoying boy. And then she tried to be more level-headed. And it kind of worked. But it kind of basically just worked because the episode was ending. They have nothing left to say with Misty in the series. And Misty and Brock have always been entirely supporting characters for Ash, who get their own spotlight every once so often. They get, like, their running gags, and, like, they have their little interests and such, of course. But we've kind of run through all the possible storylines we could have with Misty at this point. We've seen her have little rivalries with one-off characters and such.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just this, that again, it's boring. I can think of at least a couple examples of this coming up through the end of Johto. I think at this time, it's the right move and the right call to move Misty into more of a recurring role. She's done all she can do with Ash and the Twerps and this setup. In order for Misty to develop, she's going to have to change her life circumstances, which is exactly what's going to happen in the near future.
I think those are all good points. I will say just, you know, and I'm not the best at like character analysis or anything like that, but I think the major glaring thing, the issue that both any supporting character is going to encounter is that they're not the main character. So like you could never have a side character like Brock or Misty usurp Ash in ability or talent or anything, because like if she was getting stronger and she's focused on such like a small area, like she wants to just be a water Pokemon master, so it's like, okay, at this point you would hope, I mean, I guess you would hope that they would at least be on the same level as Ash, you know, because Ash is the one going through the gym challenges, which to be honest, I don't think that just his number of badges is indicative of any kind of skill. I mean, look at what happened with the last badge. I thought that was complete bullshit. So you can't really use that as like a good indicator. But like, I guess if you wanted to be like, oh, okay, like Ash is growing, but so are Misty and Brock, you know, alongside of him getting stronger with him. But like, they don't do anything necessarily that would like constitute like, oh, them getting stronger. Like, this should have been an episode. Like, if Misty was actually getting stronger, she should have easily been able to take care of the Macargo. But we still see her time and time again, like, pathetically failing. Poliwhirl got knocked out with one flamethrower. That's sad. Is it so bad to have characters that aren't Ash actually be successful? Like, I think they're just afraid to have them be successful for some reason. Because that would be showing, like, oh, they're stronger than Ash? Question mark? Like, I don't know.
Building off of that, there's nothing for her really to be successful at. She's fighting a snail.
But that should have been easy.
I just think there's nothing for her to do.
Well, they had her lose the water Pokemon competition several episodes back. I mean, she lost that to clear adults who were very obviously way more skilled than her, to be fair. You know, I wasn't expecting her to win that, but, like, I guess they've relegated her, like, knowing that they can't do anything to her. Like, I guess she was able to give, like, it was kind of like matronly advice.
I didn't care for that dynamic either.
I didn't. Well, I'm saying I didn't care for it either. Like, she can't do anything, so she has to be like the mom of the group, like giving advice to the younger kid. Like, I don't know. It's not a good look either way.
It's not out of character for Misty, but it's a weird role for her to do, you know?
Well, it's weird because she's a kid herself. She doesn't know anything and she hasn't accomplished anything. And to be honest, the quote that I have picked out actually highlights that. So I'm kind of like glad that they, because it seems like they're aware of it because they had this character pointed out.
Okay, you want to get into the quotes then?
Yeah, can I just like read it then?
Yeah, and you go first. You just go first. Okay,
I'm just gonna start with a quote because I know it's not gonna make sense otherwise. So this is the part where she is like having that sit down with him and explaining about water Pokemon and their adaptability and stuff, and she says, "The quicker one can adapt to any type of battle strategy, the more likely they are to win the battle." And Egan says, "I guess so, but I don't recall seeing any of those genius moves in your last battle." So, yeah, a shitty thing to say, but he's not wrong.
Also, she didn't get to prove herself because Egan got to have the rematch with the Recargo and she didn't.
But she shouldn't have ever had to have a rematch. She shouldn't have ever had to prove herself. She should have just been able to fucking handle that.
Right. It was all Egan focused, and I wanted it to be Misty focused. I wanted her to learn a lesson.
What would the lesson learned have been?
Oh, I don't know. This is a bad episode, so there's no saving it.
They were never gonna... She does make some kind of comment about, like, potentially having caught it. Like, if she had had a chance to catch it. But I'm like, Misty, would you even have caught a fire type of all things? I don't think so. I mean, if anything, like, I guess this random kid... Macargo seems like it'd be a good Brock Pokemon.
Eh.
No, you don't think so?
No, we would never see it anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, we never see any of the good ones.
It would drop off the face of the planet with, like, Pineco.
Pineco, Onix, Zubat, well, Crobat now.
I don't know. Timothy's a heavy player, though.
We haven't seen Timothy in several episodes.
Yeah, he had a good run, though.
I don't know. I will say the one redeeming quality about this was that it wasn't Ash or Brock focused at all. Like, we barely see them. It's very much Misty focused. And this random kid with a horrible haircut.
Bad episode.
Not a strong contender. Sorry. If I'm just going, am I going? I'm just going to do this.
Yeah, thing. Go for it. Go for it.
My LVP's got to be Egan for his fucking horrible hair and just his attitude. Okay, picture. You know what? I'm going to make an anime, like, connection, because I don't really know how else to explain this. And I literally just had this thought pop into my head, because I'm like, how can I, like, explain this? You won't, or maybe you do, if you're familiar with Naruto at all. There's a character named Choji in...
The plus size character.
Yes.
Okay, yes.
His hair. I mean, he wears, like, a diaper on his head. Thankfully, this kid does not have a diaper on his head, but, like, his hair goes off in two different directions with, like, a split down the middle, and it looks like a butt. So he gets LVP for that alone, because it's that heinous. My MVP, I don't even know. Holy shit.
I'm looking at pictures of Shoji. Oh, he looks a lot better when he grows it out, when he's older.
Oh, I don't remember. I stopped watching, like...
He has, like, a full mane of hair.
Oh, okay.
When they're older.
Thank God.
Yeah.
They make fun of him for being, like, bigger. And I'm like, he's really not even that much bigger than, like, any of the other kids, but whatever. Now I'm in, like, a Naruto mood, because also we were in the mall. We went into, like, an anime, like, toy store or whatever, and they were playing Naruto music, and it got me all nostalgic.
They had, like, 4 anime stores at that mall.
That was, like, way too many anime stores. Not because I'm an anti-anime store, but because, like, how many do you need? And they all had the same stuff. My MVP is going to be Brock.
Why?
I don't know, because he stayed out of shit this episode.
You can just give it to Brock for no reason.
Was there anybody else who deserved it?
No.
He stayed out of shit. Like, he should, I mean.
Okay, fair enough. Then I'll give my MVP to Ash, because he stayed out of it for the most part.
I mean, he kind of yelled in Makargo's face.
I kind of appreciate that, because I thought it was kind of funny. The audacity to walk up to a lava snail and be like, "Excuse me, sir, get out of our way." move
bitch, get out the way. That was pretty funny.
It was just silly.
Sure. Yeah.
I guess my LVP, I'll give it to Poliwhirl for a pitiful showing.
Poor Poliwhirl, can't ever catch a break.
My quote will be, this is a silly one. Team Rocket are in a hot spring and they see a geyser. Meowth says, "This place is famous for its big old geysers," and then Jesse says, "Yes, and they say the geysers are fairly renowned as well."
That was something.
It was the best I got.
Big ol' geezers.
Big ol' geezers.
Is that our episode title?
No, we gotta figure out episode title.
That's a wrap. Some do not like it hot.
Was I being harsh with Misty?
I'm the wrong person to ask. I feel like this is a podcast where we just say our opinions and there's no right or wrong. I mean, Misty doesn't, you're right. I just feel like Misty doesn't have any character growth as of late. There is really nothing.
And neither does Brock. I'll clarify that. Neither does Brock.
Neither does anybody else.
True, true, true.
And Ash isn't really, like, learning from anything either, because he's just kind of getting victories handed to him, so.
I would say there's a marked difference between Johto Ash and Kanto Ash.
I miss his snarkiness.
But I think there's also going to be a pretty big difference between Johto Ash and Hoenn Ash.
Oh, God, yeah.
The advanced rejiggering the formula a little, just a little bit, I think it's going to do wonders for everyone.
Yeah, because it ultimately leads into the best of all the series, and that's Diamond and Pearl.
Sorry, Misty, you have to be sacrificed for the show to move forward.
Kind of. She's kind of a lead weight. I will say, Ash does make a comment at the beginning of this episode, I believe, where he's like, oh, seventh bat, or no, it was the last episode, I think. It was one of them. But Ash says, oh, the seventh badge, the next one will be a piece of cake. And I'm like, you're cocky, Ash. Mm-mm. Interesting you might say that, because does it work out like you think?
The eighth badge, I think, is going to take some surprises that might surprise, some turns that might surprise,
some surprises you. That might surprise us.
Oh my god, randomizer.
All right, we gotta wrap it up.
We gotta get out of here. We gotta go. You gotta drive tomorrow.
We are gonna wrap it here. Thank you guys, as always.
Hopefully we like next week better.
Okay, yeah, what do we have next week? Let's just start.
Okay,
with that.
Here's the thing, I don't remember the next two episodes either.
You don't remember?
Like, I remember they exist, but I couldn't tell you much
about them. Oh, you don't remember the content. I see.
Right.
So what...
I remember them better than this one, the Makargo one, but still...
Let me try to guess. What are the episodes?
Okay, great. That's a fun game.
What are they called? Let me try to guess.
Hocus Pokemon?
Oh, fuck. Hocus Pokemon?
Yep.
Is that with Duplica?
No, Duplica's done.
Oh, okay, she's dead. Cool. Is this with Marvin the Magician?
No.
Is this another Natu Zatu bullshit episode?
I think there might be a Natu in it, but I could be wrong.
Huh. Okay. I literally have no clue.
Okay. We'll find out. And then the next episode is As Clear as Crystal.
Is this the Crystal Onyx? No, we already had that.
Then we go back to the Orange Islands. Rerun.
As Clear as Crystal? Guys, I couldn't tell. Wow. I'm a bad guesser. I can't even guess. I don't even know. I'm not going to look. I'm not going to cheat. I guess we'll have to find out. You have to tune in next week to find out what the hell is going on.
Ow, 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 ow. My laptop fan got stuck on my leg hairs. Ow. We gotta go. Bye.
All right. So while Austin's getting his hairs ripped out, I just want to say thank you guys again for listening. We always enjoy having you guys join us every week. If you want to get in touch with us and let us know how wackadoodle we are, please reach out to us. Our Gmail account is outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Or you can always hit us up on Twitter, aka X, at @outofdryingpan. Again, that is @outofdryingpan. And if you want to subscribe to us and support our wacky antics, you can always become a Patreon patron. We have varying tiers. You can subscribe to get access to all kinds of cool bonus content, like bonus material and our crazy X-rated stuff that doesn't make the podcast proper. And like Austin said at the beginning, we are planning on doing our fan fiction reading on October the 5th. So if you have any ideas for our Professor Imposter Oak prompt, please feel free to send that in to the Drying Pan email. We are excited to see if anybody will do so, and we can read them out here on the podcast. And of course, we hope you join us next week. And thank you all again for listening as the journey continues.